Hey everyone, and welcome to the All It Takes a Goal podcast, the best place in the entire world, including all of Canada, to learn how to build new thoughts, new actions, and new results. I'm your host, John Acuff, and today is part two of a very special episode. When I say very special episode, it makes me think of like when Family Ties would have an episode about like drugs, or like a sitcom, like the episode where the Seaver family's house got broken into. Do you remember that with Kirk Cameron? Their house got broken. It was a big deal. It was a serious episode. But this is a special episode. This is part two. Doing a two-part conversation with Gian Limmy. Gian Limmy is one of my team members. He's also a collegiate tennis coach. He's a super accomplished goal nerd, like a lot of people that are listening right now. And he and I thought it would be really fun to have a conversation around perfectionism. It's one of those topics that we get tons of questions about. So Gian gathered a bunch of those questions, and we thought we'd answer those questions today. If you didn't hear episode one, definitely go back and listen to that. You don't need to have heard episode one, though, to enjoy this one. I always say it's not like Lost, the show Lost, where you wake up and you're like, why is there like a polar bear? Who are the others? Where is Jack going? What? Like, you don't have to listen to episode one to fully enjoy this episode. So we're going to jump into that. But first, a quick word from the sponsor of today's episode. You know that book you almost wrote? Perfectionism stopped you. You know that exercise plan that you started, but the results weren't as fast as you expected, so you quit? Perfectionism stopped you. Raise your hand if you have a shame treadmill in your garage or a Peloton that's now just a really expensive place to hang laundry to dry. Anybody out there? You know that business idea you half launched 1,000 times? Perfectionism stopped you. You know that podcast you nearly created, the attic you barely decluttered, the job change you dreamed about but never made, the New Year's resolution you swore you'd keep but lost sight of? Perfectionism stopped all of those things. But it doesn't have to be that way. You can win the race against perfectionism. Starting on April 18th, I'm doing 3 days of free training to help you get beyond perfect. And if you can't make it live because you have like jobs and stuff, no problem. We'll send you a video replay. Here's how it works. I'm going to teach three different lessons about perfectionism, and you get an automatic pass to a private Facebook group with 20,000 of the most encouraging people you've ever met. It's called the All It Takes Is a Goal Facebook group. 20,000, it's private. It's a bunch of people from around the world encouraging each other about the goals they're working on. And every couple months, we do a new challenge. This challenge is called Beyond Perfect, and it helps you and I really deal with perfectionism with some practical, tactical things we can do to accomplish the things we care about the most. It's free, it's awesome, and it's starting soon. Don't miss it. Sign up today at acuff.me/challenge, acuff.me/challenge. And right now, if you're thinking, I don't know. Do I struggle with perfectionism? What's the perfect answer to that question? Am I really a perfectionist? You probably are. Don't overthink it. It's free, it's awesome. Sign up today at acuff.me/challenge. All right, let's jump into today's episode with Gian Limmy. Gian, thank you for joining me again, buddy.
Yeah, I'm just so happy to be here, John. I think we do need to change the intro to "and all of Brazil" instead of "all of Canada."
All of Brazil. You think, I mean, Brazil, population-wise, who has more people? Brazil?
I think Brazil does, yeah. Brazil, probably the fifth largest population in the world, I think.
Wow, I think I probably is like, anybody who's in the geography right now is like, yeah, Brazil has like, 1 billion and Canada has 19 million, you dumb dumb.
We need a live fact checker.
Somebody off camera. Like, I love podcasts that have the guy who just laughs in the background because he's like a studio audience of one. Have you ever seen a podcast where name is always like Tim or Ryan, and like they say something really funny, and then off camera you hear like, someday, Gian, we grow this thing big enough, dude. That's my promise. It'll be the biggest in Brazil as far as goal nerds, but also we'll have somebody off camera, a really specific Brazil story that I've never told you before, not on purpose, just didn't think about it. The Portuguese version of my book, Start. So I wrote a book called Start a couple of years ago, got translated into Portuguese. The person who did the translation got so inspired, they quit their job. And the publisher emailed us and was like, thanks for nothing. The translator got so fired up that they quit their job. And that was kind of a funny, weird compliment. I was like, hey, the book works, even in Portuguese. Hey, pa, like, let's go. So
that funny.
And I actually grew up in a Portuguese community. in Hudson, Massachusetts. The Portuguese Club was a huge organization in our town. And I learned that Brazilians and Portuguese, very different. And yeah. They, like, a Brazilian does not want you to assume they're from Portugal and vice versa. And then the Azores, completely its own thing. People yeah. from Portugal were like, ah, I'm not from the Azores. People from the Azores are like, don't lump me in with Brazil.
It's basically like Hawaiians and Americans. The Hawaiians, they're still part of America, but they do not yeah. consider themselves.
Yeah.
Yeah. Not
it was interesting. I was a very, like, ignorant American about, like, it's Portuguese, right? And like, I'm Brazilian. Like, pump the brakes on this Lisbon stuff. Like, yeah. I'm from Brazil. I don't want to hear it. It's very, very silly of me. But today we're not talking about just Portuguese. We're talking about perfectionism. And we thought it'd be fun to jump into another round of questions around that topic because it's one we get again and again and again and again. So, Gian, let's go. Let's jump back into our discussion about perfectionism. Yeah.
I really am curious, John. Do you still have that wall with soundtracks next to you?
Yeah, so I wrote a book called Soundtracks about the repetitive thoughts we listen to again and again. And they can either help you or hurt you depending on if you control them, if you create them, if you work on them. It's essentially a book about mindset. And I have a whole wall of soundtracks. There's 70 right now on it. And if I hear a new one, I'll write it up there. And they can be everything from, like, what's one? Criticism that costs nothing is worth nothing. My wife, Jenny, often will tell me criticism that costs nothing is worth nothing. And what she means by that is if some dude takes 30 seconds to write a mean comment on an Instagram caption, it's worth 30 seconds. It's not worth an hour of your thought. It's not worth later at dinner being like, you think Mark 287 Dragonface was right that I am dumb? Like, it's not worth that. It cost him nothing. Whereas if a friend, a coworker says to you, hey, here's something that I'm seeing in your life, I think you need to be careful about. That cost that person something. They had to be brave. They had to risk relational equity. So that's worth something. So yeah, I have a whole wall of them. And some of them are related to perfectionism. One of my favorite soundtracks to remind myself of when I'm struggling with perfectionism is Some Beats None. Some Beats None. It's just three words. It's not even that sexy. Doesn't really rhyme.
It does rhyme. Some beats none rhyme.
Some beats none. It's not as strong enough. Like, it rhymes in a world where, like, Charlie Puth or Pluth, isn't that singer?
Yeah,
he's
there,
like,
you go. Yeah.
I'm Superman. I'm on my way. He says something. He rhymes, just give me a call. I'll be on my way. Superman has nothing on me, but he says may. So if you listen to that song, he rhymes me with way. That's not, he goes, nothing on May. I don't, as a writer, it kills me. But Some Beats None is on the days where I'm worried that I'm not doing enough or I had a perfect expectation in my head and it didn't come true, that Some Beats None. And that it's about long-term consistency, sustainable success versus perfectionism in moments and then quitting for a long period of time. That's where perfectionism really gets you, is you have these highs and lows, where you burn out, you go really, really great, you burn out, and then you don't do the thing for three more months. And then you go really great, you buy the exercise shoes, you get the Peloton, you go crazy, and then you can't sustain it because you're at this perfectionist level that doesn't have sustainability beat in. So Some Beats None is one I remind myself.
I can really relate because I just had this conversation with my wife. We just got 3 cubic yards of mulch delivered to our house, and she wanted to put it all out, but now there's a chance of rain today. So she was like, should I just cover it at all and wait for the rain to come and then start? And I was like, no, just do 2 hours of work, let the rain come, and then when the rain is gone, you already got 2 hours in. So it's very relatable. I love
all or nothing. The perfectionism is all or nothing. So either I can do it all or I won't do any. And I think a big part of life is figuring out how to do little things that stack up over time.
Yeah, for sure. Do you have any other soundtracks in that list of 70, something that you like to use?
Yeah, I mean, one of them is I'll Feel Awesome After. That's one I've talked about a little bit, where before I do an activity, I often don't want to do it. So I think a big part of any goal is talking yourself into doing things you won't want to do sometimes. Like, that's half of doing a goal, is talking yourself into it. So that could be writing. That could be, oh man, I don't want to jump into it. I don't have the perfect idea. Like, what if the words don't come? And like, I have all this kind of like hang up about it. Or running. Like, I don't want to go out. Like, we're now going to transition. We're in pollen season here in Nashville. So it's just going to be like, I'm going to look like I'm crying the entire run. I'm going to be so pollinated the rest of the day. And I'm like, ah, it's too much pollen. But then I have to remind myself, I'll feel awesome after. The after is what I'm running for. Like when I finish and I walk down the hill and I've done the thing, or I do a CrossFit workout and I text my, you know, kind of trainer accountability guy, and I'm like, hey, workout 33 is in the books. Like I'll feel awesome in that moment. So I always, the way I say it is like, I think about the beginning in black and white, and I think about the end in Technicolor. Like black and white, I barely touch the beginning. I barely think about like, oh, it's going to suck to be outside today. It's going to be so hot or so cold or so whatever. Or the first 10 sentences, maybe first page of writing is going to suck. And I think, no, I imagine the ending. And there's actually scientific data around that process. Like I recently read a book that talked about, you know, those little things and the impact they have on your ability to finish something long term are really, really helpful. So that for me is I'll feel awesome after. So when I have to do something I don't want to do or I don't feel like doing, and I don't feel like doing most things most of the time, like I think people think I'm this positive, motivated person. Like I'm not, dude. I'm like, I have to work at it. But the other one I'll say is like, nothing gets awesome accidentally. Nothing gets awesome accidentally. I've never met somebody who accidentally got in shape. I've never met somebody who was like, yeah, I was binge watching Netflix. Next thing I looked up, I was doing burpees. Don't even remember getting off the couch. I was just like, all of a sudden I was flipping tractor tires. I don't even own a tractor. Like marriages don't get accidentally awesome. Like the default of marriage is to be pulled apart in separate directions. You have to work to have a good marriage. And from a mindset perspective, what I say is fear comes free, hope takes work. Fear comes free, hope takes work. You never have to go find fear. Fear will find you, like often at the grocery store.
Yep.
Hope, on the other hand, you got to work at hope, dude. You got to lean into hope. And so those are the kind of things that I look to remind myself. But yeah, I still have a wall of them because I don't want to trust my memory for the days that are hard. I don't want to rely on my memory for the days I'm not going to want to do it. I want to be able to look up and go, oh, that's right. That's right. That's like, assume they're busy. That's one. Assume they're busy. What does that mean? It means if I text somebody and they don't respond, just assume they're busy too. Assume they have a whole other human life that doesn't involve you. Like versus going, are they mad at me? Like, did I say something wrong? Were they bothered by that? Should I have not texted? Like, no. Just assume they're busy.
Did I use too many exclamation points?
Yeah. Did I yell too much in the text? Should I use more to show I'm excited? So like, I like to collect thoughts like that from moments I'm going to need it because I know I'm going to need it again. And again, when I'm in a stressful moment, I don't want to have to try to drum it up. I'd much rather see it on a list and go, oh, that's right. That's right. Okay. I got that. Yeah. I got that. That's good.
That's something I had to get used to with working with you, John, was, you know, your mornings are pretty blocked off. Right. And so when we started working, I would just text you something and I wouldn't get an answer for 3 to 4 hours. And I'd be like, wow, did I phrase this wrong? And I'll reread that text. It was already sent. There's nothing I can do about it. And I would just keep working on it and just being like, what is happening? What is happening? And then at 1 o'clock, you would text me. Yep. It's great. Thanks.
Yeah. See that I should have told you up front. Hey, I'm trying to write in the morning. I'm trying to do the hardest things I can do in the morning. So yeah, if I don't respond. Yeah. Now for me, that's the thing you asked about in the first episode. You're like, hey, what about what you can learn from perfectionism? I think you're always learning how you best work. I think life in general, you're always learning, what does it take for me to be at my highest level, to be healthy, to be connected to my wife, to be spiritually healthy, whatever your goal is. And so I know for me, in the mornings, I'm trying to do the hardest things I can. So then the afternoons, like Friday afternoon, like I have no brain power. So I think about it like saving things for the right moments. And when I was younger, I didn't do that. And I would try to do something really hard creatively in the afternoon. I'd be like, I suck. But then it took me forever. Like that's the simplest exercise. If you can go, when am I at my best? And what can I put my best activities there? And match those, because I think a lot of people waste a lot of time when they don't know how they work and then they just kind of struggle.
Yeah, love that. One of the things you said previously was that if you measure everything you do against the greatest success you've ever had, you've set yourself up for a lifetime of failure. Can you expand a little bit on that and how it relates to perfectionism?
Yeah, I don't think we talk about this enough, but when we talk about comparing ourselves to other people, we automatically think of social media and like the influencer, the popular mom, whatever, the cool person. But I think we can also compare ourselves to ourselves. And so where you see this is people go, man, the weight 10 years ago, the weight came off so much faster. Ugh. And you're like, and if you could really go back, it probably didn't. And it probably took longer than you think, but you're remembering something that's no longer true. And so it's the same with, you know, it can be, you know, it was so easy to find a job. Like it used to be like so easy to find a job, or it used to be like, I, you know, you should have seen me when I was younger, and you've had this success, and then you've turned that into the standard. And now you're comparing yourself to the standard. Or, and this is something you and I have talked about a bunch. You're in a different season and you don't allow yourself to admit that. So in the GGC, we do this thing called the Guaranteed Goals Community that GN leads. I teach lessons. He does a check-in with GN, which is amazing, where he's bringing people live on to talk about their goals. But we get a lot of questions where people will say something like, hey, I'm struggling with my goal. I want to be a real estate agent. I was closing way more deals like a year ago, and now I'm not closing as many. And they'll say, P.S., I'm also spending 12 hours or 20 hours a week taking care of my dad with dementia. And you'll go, whoa, there's no way you should be comparing current you with dad with dementia to the person 2 years ago that didn't have a 20-hour commitment to dad with dementia. Your season has changed. Let's adjust your scorecard to reflect that. But we don't do that very well when we have a new kid. I see young parents say that with like, yeah, man, I don't know what the deal is, dude. I just can't get my act together. And you're like, do you have like a tiny little monster that lives with you now? It's pretty demanding that you kind of sets the entire schedule. Like, and they go, oh, now that you mention it, I do have twins. Huh. Yeah. I wonder if that's been part of the challenge. And you're like, yeah, dude, 100. Like if your job changes, if your health changes, if there's a pandemic, like where you're like, yeah, I just feel lonelier. Maybe something's wrong with me. And you're like, well, did you used to work in a vibrant office and now you work home alone with a cat, and you order your groceries from a delivery service and you see two humans a day, like, and one of them's your mailman. Like, yeah, you like the lonely thing. There's a reason you're feeling lonely. There was a global pandemic. You've been isolated. Yeah. So I think that's part of that thing, is to make sure that at any season of your life, you're giving yourself a new scorecard for how you're performing.
Yeah. One of the things I noticed too is, like with me personally, I finished an Ironman, you know, a half Ironman, but during the pandemic when we did not have any tennis matches, where we did not practice because everybody was gone, right? And then we finished that, and then school starts, the kids go back to school, everybody's back to normal. And then I'm like, oh, I should do another Ironman. And I'm like, no, you can't. That's impossible. Because now you don't have another 7 hours every day to go train for it. You know, you actually have a real job now.
Yeah, 7 hours open. You're like, what was that? Was so weird. Like, I didn't. Well, and think about people that like started a habit of walking and now they're finding it hard to walk. Cause like during the pandemic, everybody was like, I'm just going to go on like a 2 hour walk, just feel the outdoors. Like, just, and then again, like a lot of companies are going back to the office. A lot of stuff is returning to normal. And they're like, man, I just don't feel like I have the same schedule to go on a 2 hour walk anymore. And you're like, yeah, you don't, you have other things, like life came in. The way my friend Frank Beeler says it, he said the challenge is sometimes people make goals when they're not busy and they forget they'll be busy again. And a great example of that, Gene, a really specific one, is when you make your New Year's resolutions in December during Christmas vacation, you're on vacation. You're on vacation. If you take a Tuesday because it's Christmas week and you're like, I'm just going to brainstorm these, like your body's like, we got all the time in the world. What is the problem? And then you hit like the second week of January, it's like, you got a full plate. And you're like, what is the problem? So yeah, keeping cognizant of what your schedule is really like is one of those ways to beat perfectionism, because perfectionism won't admit that you're busy. And you have to be the one to go, wait a second, I got a bunch of commitments and I can only get this amount of things done today. But stacked out over a year, that's amazing. That's an amazing amount of stuff. But if perfectionism goes, you don't have 2 hours today. So again, it's small, sustainable change over time.
Yeah. You talk about finding those little moments of time, right? When you sit in the airport, in the airplane before it takes off, finding those gaps where you can continue to work on your goals without having to finish the goal right when you do it.
Yeah. One thing that I learned that was really helpful to me. So maybe 12 years, no. Yeah. About 12 years ago, I got to have lunch with Zig Ziglar and his wife and his son, Tom. And then fast forward 12 years later, I interviewed Tom for the book Soundtracks. about mindset. Because if you're going to talk about mindset, like Zig Ziglar has to be part of the conversation. And I kept trying to get Tom to say, like, you know, well, my dad was sometimes negative. Like, I kept trying to stump the Ziglar. That was his private game I was playing. And man, Tom had an answer for every question I asked. And so I was like, okay, let's say like your dad gets a delayed flight. Like, this is before his dad passed away. He's got a delayed flight. Nobody likes delayed flights. Everybody's grumpy. Like, what does he do in that moment? I was kind of like, what about this? And he goes, oh, my dad always carried his most important work with him. So if he had a delayed flight, it was just a chance for him to work on something that really mattered to him. So he'd go find a quiet spot and he'd just work on that. And I was like, you got me. You got me. And so now that's what I do. So like, if I have the stuff with me and it's lined up. So if a flight is like, it's an hour delayed, I'm like, looks like you just invited me to an hour of something I really need to do. And then I'll crush it in Terminal C. And then the other part of that is having something that's small enough that it can go in a small space. So you have a 10-minute thing, you have a 5-minute thing. And there's a productivity lesson that I'm teaching in the second week of this next session of Guaranteed Goals Community about kind of my focus system. And so a lot of times it's when you get a 15-minute free moment, you have a thing that fits that space. You don't, you know, a lot of people only have 1 hour projects. So they get a 15-minute moment and they can't jam it in. And then social media is like, I got you 15 minutes right here. Like Instagram is like, come on over here. And the next thing you know, you blow through that 15. The nerdiest thing I've done lately, and I think I talked about this, I was looking for more time in my schedule. And I was like, I wonder how much time it takes between when I sit down on a plane and when it actually takes off. Like, I was just curious about that. And so I started timing it. Like, I timed it 24 times on 24 flights. You look like a crazy person, by the way. Like, you, it's the second you sit down next to somebody, you open your timer. And then as soon as the plane is off the ground, you stop it. Like, what is this guy doing?
That's something
like,
Dwight Schrute would do.
Yeah, exactly. And so I did it. And it takes around 30 minutes each time. And so I found a 30-minute block where I was like, just scrolling Instagram, doing nothing. And I was like, I'm going to try to read. Like, one of my goals is to read 66 books a year. So I'm like, I'm going to try to read in that moment. So then now I've taught myself, when you sit down, it's go time. Let's do it. And so like, now I've got a book and I'm ready to go. And now like, I don't have to guess. I want to take as much of the guesswork out of performance as possible. Like, I don't want my body, I don't want to have to talk my body into doing anything, because it's very much like, oh, for real? We got to read on this plane? Like, what? And so I'd much rather know, hey, like, I'm flying tomorrow. Tomorrow I'll fly and I'll have a book that I'm going to read. I already have it picked out. Like, I know what I'm going to do. And like, I'm going to knock that book out. It's going to be great. And then I know I'm going to read, you know, and so soon as we're 10,000 feet up, I can use my laptop. So I'll do work that way. But that first 30 minutes, man, if you have a reading goal and you're like, I wish I had more time to read, and you're a business traveler, dude, you have so much time. You have more time, you think.
For sure. I can relate to the redeeming that little bit of time. Yesterday, I went to pick up breakfast for one of our tennis teams, and I showed up and they had forgotten about our breakfast order. And so they said, oh, just give us 30 minutes and we'll have it ready for you, you know? And then I was looking, yep. I was like, what am I going to do for 30 minutes? It's, you know, Sunday morning. And I was like, oh, I have my computer in my car. So I grabbed the computer and I worked on our scorecard that we do every week with our team, yep. You know, updating the numbers, followers, all those things. And it's a 30-minute task, and I fit it and saved me 30 minutes from today, right? So
you had a puzzle piece that was perfectly fit.
Yeah.
Totally. Yep. I love that, dude. I love that.
John, for a perfectionist, and now we're talking about goals, we need to be able to track them, right? But what are some of the healthy ways to measure our progress and success for a perfectionist?
Well, I mean, I think you need to break it down into small pieces. Because again, we said perfectionism is all or nothing. So a perfectionist only has two marks in their, like, if you think about life as a race, they have two marks, starting line, finish line. So you have to say to them, like, when you did a marathon recently, yeah, there was 1 mile, 2 mile, 3 mile, like, there were markings at each mile to tell you, you got it. Like, you didn't need to know that necessarily, yeah, but you needed to know it if you wanted to finish. And so a perfectionist, a lot of it is finding micro deadlines, micro finish lines, and adding them yourself to go. So like, an example of that would be, I have a notebook. I'm a big notebook guy. I love Leuchtturm 1917, dot grid, hardcover. Like, I'm pretty specific. love this notebook. And I have 251 finish lines in this notebook. And you go, what does that mean? Well, there's 251 pages. So every time I finish a page, it's a little burst of accomplishment. It's a little like, hey, I did the thing. Like my goal, I want to try to finish one of these roughly every month doing writing. So now I have some accomplishments. Now I have some finish lines. So a big part of measuring is going, what are the micro finish lines I need to add? How can I make it easy? And then the trick is making sure the system isn't more time consuming than the work. Goal nerds, like every goal nerd listening to this right now, has purchased some complicated workbook, planner, you know, like something or other. And so instead going, no, here's a simple way for me to do it. And it actually encourages me to complete it. And you should spend 10% of your time working the productivity system and 90% doing the thing you're supposed to do. It shouldn't be 90-10. It shouldn't be 50-50. Like if you've got, and there's some you'll hear people describe and go, it only has like 17 steps. It's pretty simple. And you're like, that's not simple at all. That's intimidating. That's all get out. So I think a 10-90 is a pretty good rule when it comes to measuring and what kind of system.
Yeah. I equate it to Legos. When you open that Lego box and it comes with 10 separate bags, it's a pretty complicated Lego set. If it all comes in one bag, then you're like, this is pretty simple. Yeah.
Yeah, this is a tractor. I'm going to be fine. This is like, and the pieces are big and it says Duplo on the box. I'll be fine.
Yeah. So John, tell us a little bit more about the challenge starting up tomorrow. People can still sign up at acuff.me/challenge. Give us a little bit of the insider information about it.
Yeah. So it's 3 days, three 1-hour-ish lessons from me. I don't get to visit every town every year, but I do get to share tons of content with 10,000 people. I think we'll probably end up having 10,000 people join this one. We've got 20,000 people in the Facebook group. But it's really, really fun. It's really, really simple. There's prizes. We always have prizes because we realized a couple years ago, like, wait a second, we're in charge. Like, if we want to do prizes, we can just do prizes. And so we started giving out like bacon and Lego sets and AirPod Pros.
Gummy
and
bears.
That was just gummy bears, like, yeah, Albanese, shout out, sliding those DMs. Yeah. They're not a sponsor. I'm just a fan of gummy bears. So it's a chance for you to get together and go, I need a boost for my goals. I'm past the January window and I'm now in the middle of the year and I want to get beyond perfectionism and I want tactical, practical things we can do. That's one of our favorite things to do at Team Acuff is to take complicated subjects that are fuzzy and clarify them into tactical, practical things you can do on a real Thursday, on a real Friday. I always joke, like whenever somebody says to me, like, you should have an abundance mindset. I'm like, agreed. So how? Like just saying that doesn't make it true. Like, doesn't, like if you go like, no, you should just, or people go like, the cure is gratitude. And you go, right, okay, but what do you mean? Like, what can I do with that? How do I do that? Like, what are the steps? And they go, no, it's just gratitude. Like that's not what I like to do. So in the challenge, there's homework, there's lessons, there's you should try this. Here's the three things. The first lesson, we talk about the 8 signs that you're a perfectionist. I think there's going to be a lot of people listening to this right now. They're like, oh, I went 7 for 8. Or like, oh, I went 8 for 8. I personally went 8 for 8 as a perfectionist. So it's just a great chance for you to be around a bunch of people that'll encourage you and to get a lot of content that'll encourage you too. It starts tomorrow. acuff.me/challenge. We do it 2 or 3 times a year. This is our second one of the year. We're going to do another one in the fall. Don't miss it. And I should say this, if you can't watch the lessons at 12 Central, 3 days in a row. And I picked Central because it's such a disrespected time zone. I can't tell you, Jen, how many times I have a meeting with somebody from Eastern time zone, like New York, and they miss the meeting because they're like, oh, I didn't, oh, what time zone? Like they act like I'm asking them to figure out where Guam is and what time zone it's in. Like it's 1 hour. And so anyway, the 12 p.m. Central. And if you can't join us in the moment because you have like jobs and stuff, like, by the way, well done having a full life. We'll send you a replay and you can watch the replay later and you can catch up at your own speed. So yeah, it's going to be a blast. I can't wait.
And people can ask you questions. They can sign up for the VIP backstage and they get to ask you questions about anything. I've heard questions about even wedding and marriage questions as well as goal questions.
Yeah. Well, and it's fun because I always tell people I learned a $1 million lesson on titling books once the wrong way. And so if somebody like, so what'll happen is people sign up for the VIP backstage and they'll be, and I'll say you can ask anything and somebody will go, here's the three book titles I'm thinking about. What do you think? Now, if you ask me like, how do you change my oil in a Toyota Celica from 1987? Dude, I'll tell you. If you ask me something I don't know how to do, I'll 100%. The problem is like the reason people get so mad that celebrities talk about politics is they don't know. Yep. But their whole thing is if a mic is put in front of me and a person asks me a question, I'm going to answer the question. Like, yep. So there was a time in my life where somebody, I didn't understand that principle and people would be like, what do you think about hang gliding? And be like, well, here's the thing you need to know about hang gliding. I didn't know about hang gliding. I should. So if you ask me a question that I don't know, I'll say no. But a lot of times it'll happen is somebody will say, I want to title a book. What do you think? And I've got, you know, my ninth book comes out this fall. So I have some ideas about titling books. So they'll say, I want to start a small business. Like this is the 10th year I've worked for myself full time. Or like, I want to do a podcast or want to. So if it's in my wheelhouse all day, I'll be like, I think this word is wasted in the title. I don't think this word's carrying enough weight. I think this subtitle is weird. Or, hey, here's something to think about with your business or your personal brand or whatever it is. Like I would change this. So and we'll have hundreds of questions. And it's a rugby scrum. I love it because it is like an intense, and I'm talking so fast. Like it's my favorite, dude. It is a fire hose because people really, the first day they're kind of like hesitant a little bit, but by day three, they're like, let's go. Let's go. And they share so many questions. It's so fun.
Yeah, I love it, John. Thanks for taking the time and answering all these questions. And if you want to go sign up again, acup.me/challenge, and I'll be there. John will be there. And hope to see you guys also at the Guaranteed Goals community.
Yeah, Jan does an amazing job with that. Jan, thanks for joining me today for our second part. I think we're going to do at least two others. You and I talked about we need to do one on the Sunday scaries, like specific things you can do to deal with Sunday afternoon. I used to be terrified of Sunday afternoon. Like the joke I would do is that like, when you know, don't have a handle on it, Saturday feels like the weekend, Sunday feels like pre-Monday. And it feels like you just feel this sense of dread. So what do you do with the Sunday scaries? And then I think we'll do an episode probably on like five motivational statements that are not true. I think that could be a really fun episode too. But thank you so much for listening today. We'll put all the links in the show notes as always. And thank you for reviewing the podcast. Always so encouraging. Keep those coming. Please make sure you subscribe or follow so that you don't ever miss another episode. I'll see you next Monday. And remember, all it takes is a goal.
Thanks for listening. To learn more about the All It Takes Is a Goal podcast and to get access to today's show notes and exclusive content from John Acuff, visit acuff.me/podcast. Thanks again for joining us. Be sure to tune in next week for another episode of the All It Takes Is a Goal podcast.